Oh. सरकार की
जय।
In this series, I'm talking to you about why we do devotion to Radha Krishna. So the first question that I posed is, who are Radha and Krishna? And then I said, first let's concentrate on who is Krishna. So we've been learning about who is Shri Krishna since the beginning of the camp. I can't remember if that's 2 or 3 days. Yesterday I left you with the question, who is Radha? So now that you understand something about who is Shri Krishna, the answer, who is Radha, is very easy. Yeyam Radha yascha Krishna. Radhika Tapaniya Upanishad says, whatever is Radha, the same as Krishna. Whatever is Krishna, the same as Radha. They're not even two personalities. They're one and the same. So, Radha is not someone other than Shri Krishna. In fact, she herself says, Mamaiva Paurusham Rupam Gopika Janamohanam Brahma Vaivart Puran. My male form is Krishna. Radha is saying, my Paurusham Rupam, my male form is Gopika Janamohanam, the one who entices the hearts of all the gopis. That's me, but in my male form, as Shri Krishna. Shri Krishna says to Radhaji, Yatha kshire cha dhavalyam Brahma Vaivart Puran. O Radha, you and I are like milk and Shvetima. What is Shvetima? Whiteness. So two words for the same thing. You can say, someone could argue philosophically that the whiteness is one thing and the milk is another thing, but could any philosopher separate the whiteness from the milk? No. They're one and the same, but called by two names. Similarly, Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but we refer to them with two names. Radhika Krishna Rupancha Krishno Radha Swarupaka Sanat Kumar Sanghita. Radha's other form is Shri Krishna. Shri Krishna's other form is Radha. Why do they exist in two forms? The Upanishad, Radhika Tapani Upanishad, says, Ye yam radha yashch krishno rasabdhir dehe naika krida nartham dvidha bhut. The Vedas, Taittiriya Upanishad, says raso vai sah. Brahm, God, is ras. Ras means bliss, divine bliss. Or, in fact, the essence of that bliss. That's ras. So Shri Krishna is ras. In order to himself taste that ras and also distribute it to all of his devotees, he takes two forms, Radha and Krishna. Or you can say Radha takes two forms, herself Radha and herself as Krishna. Krida nartham, in order to do krida. Krida means play, leelas we call them. Dvidha bhut, bhut means become. They become two, even though they're actually one. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji says, Radha Krishna ek atma dui dehadhari. Radha and Krishna have one soul, one mind, one personality, but have appeared in two forms. Why? Anyonya vilase rasa aswadan kari. Shri Krishna wants to experience his own ras from the perspective of Radharani, and Radharani wants to experience her own ras from the perspective of Shri Krishna. So rasa aswadan, in order to drink the ras, Radha becomes Krishna, so she can drink gaur ras. Gaur means Radha, fair complexioned. And Krishna becomes Radha, so he can drink Sham Ras. Sham means dark complexioned. So when did they become two? They never became two. They always are in two forms, but eternally one. Why do we worship Radha and Krishna? I've been giving you some of the technical understanding along the way, a little bit each day. Can review some of that now and understand why do devotion to Radha Krishna. Radha is Krishna, Krishna is Radha, both are one and the same, but appearing eternally in two forms. Why do devotion to them when there are so many other forms of God? So remember, I explained that Shri Krishna is Supreme God who appears in three main forms, as himself, as his playful, charming self, Krishna with the peacock feather and the flute. Then he also has his almighty aspect. In his almighty aspect, he subsides that playful part of his personality and he acts in an official capacity. In that form, in that almighty form, he doesn't perform any leela. He only does his required duties as Supreme Almighty God. So that's his form as Mahavishnu. He also has a formless aspect, Nirakar Brahm. So one single Supreme God, Shri Krishna, has these three aspects. Or you can say Radha, now that you understand Radha and Krishna are one. Radha and Krishna, they have their supreme blissful, supreme loving form, Radha Krishna. Then they have their almighty power, their almighty form, and they also can be experienced or can be thought of as formless. Now let's go into a little more detail. Formless God, you don't need to go into more detail because there's nothing to describe. He has no form, no lilas, no qualities that could be described of any kind. No discernible characteristics. So no name, no form. Maybe everyone can just take a second and make sure that your phones are off. Formless God has no name, even though we say Brahm or formless God, but that's not a name, that's just so we can hang some kind of word on it. No name, no form, no gunas, no lila, no abode, no parikar. Parikar means saints who get to associate with him. How could you associate with formless God? You can merge into him, you can't associate with him. Now, Almighty God, in that form, Krishna actually has several forms. Vishnu, Shiva, Durga, Lakshmi, Saraswati, Ganesh, Kartikeya, Kali. These are the main forms. These are all forms of the Almighty Power. And in this form, in any of these forms, there is name, there is form, there is gunas, virtues. God is beautiful in that almighty form. He is gracious. He is caring. He cares for his devotees. He's all powerful. He looks after this entire universe. So he has characteristics, gunas. But he doesn't have lilas, again, and he doesn't have parikar. He has residence in his divine abode, but they don't get to interact with him on a personal level. They get to view him or have his darshan, and through that they do experience unlimited bliss, but they don't get any personal interaction. They're in his divine abode, Vaikunth. So the first one is called Brahmadrav. That's where jnani saints, they go if they get liberation. They merge into Krishna's formless aspect. We say they enter into Brahmadrav. The second one is Vaikunth abode. If you think of Krishna just as supreme almighty God, you can attain him in any of those forms. Or you can say you can attain Radha in any of those forms. Sansha Kamala Shailaputri Tam Radhikam Shakti Dhatrim Namamah. Radhika Tapani Upanishad says that Kamala, Lakshmi, and Shailaputri, Durga, they are her ansha. Just like I told you that Vishnu is ansh of Shri Krishna, he's his swanch. In the same way, all the female forms of divine goddess are ansha of Radharani. Devi Bhagavat Puran says that all the male forms of God emerge from Krishna's body and are part of his personality. And all of the female forms of God emerge from Radha's body and are part of her personality. But all of these almighty forms, although they're the form of unlimited bliss, there's something more which is revealed beyond that. So what's beyond that? There's a little bit of subtlety to it. Because beyond that, let's say you go right to the supreme manifestation of the divine bliss, which would be Radha Krishna in divine Golok and Vrindavan. Between Vaikunth abode, the abode of Almighty God, and this supreme Vrindavan abode, there are some intermediate abodes. Because in Vaikunth, Shri Krishna is only showing almightiness and no madhurya. Madhurya means sweetness, playfulness, that aspect of his personality is completely hidden. He's only serious. So in Vaikunth, it's pure almightiness, and in Vrindavan, it's pure madhurya, no almightiness, not even a trace of it. But in between, there's some different gradations. So the first abode beyond Vaikunth is Saket Lok of Bhagwan Ram. There, the same Shri Krishna is still quite formal, but he does leelas. He's starting to reveal that more approachable side of his personality. In Saket Lok, you can go there and you can take part in Bhagwan Ram's leelas, but he's still Maryada Purushottam Brahm. In the next abode, Dwarika abode, Shri Krishna is much less formal, but there's still a predominance of almightiness, and the madhurya is less, but more than in Saket Lok. The next abode beyond that is Mathura abode. There, Shri Krishna is much more approachable, much more, or you can say much less formal. The distance you would experience in relating to him there in Mathura abode would be much less than in Dwarika abode. But still, there's quite a bit of formality. But if you go then beyond that to Goloka abode, all the formality is removed. Krishna's almightiness is completely hidden because now he's revealed that supreme power of bhakti in its fullness that I was explaining in the last couple of speeches. The essence of Ahladini Shakti, that prema bhakti. He reveals that in its fullness in Golok. And in Vrindavan, you can say it's like the capital of Golok. It's one step beyond Golok. But in both of those abodes, Krishna is revealing pure madhurya with no aishwarya at all. What does that mean for us? It means we have a choice. Shri Krishna says in the Gita that however we surrender to him, he does bhakti to us in the same way. It means we have the choice. If we surrender to him as God Shiva, he'll come to us as God Shiva. That means we get that type of experience that you would get in Vaikunth abode, which is called Shant Ras or Shant Bhav, like looking to the king. Admire him and experience unlimited bliss, but no leelas, no personal interaction. Let's say you surrender to Krishna as Vishnu. Same thing, enter Vaikunth abode and experience something similar. Same thing with Durga, same thing with any of the almighty forms of God. You want something beyond that, you could surrender to him as Ram. He'll come to you as Ram, Sita Ram. Then you can have something more because you can take part in his leelas. Then those leelas become even more personal in Dwarika, even closer in Mathura. And then in Braj leelas, in the leelas of Golok and Vrindavan, there's total freedom to just play with Krishna and be with Krishna and enjoy that divine ras. So the choice is ours. There's no right choice or wrong choice. Any way you do devotion, you do have to choose a form. You have to choose that, in what form do I wish to meet Shri Krishna? Oh, I want to see him as God Shiva. Okay, so worship him as God Shiva. He'll come to you in that form and you can go to his divine abode and stay with him forever. But you only attain God in one form. So make your choice based on what type of interaction you want to have with him in the divine world. How do you want to be with him? If you think, I want to be with Krishna, with Radha Krishna, in the way where I'd get the maximum proximity to them, have no formality, be able to play with them, talk with them, be with them any way I want, then you've only got one option. That's Radha Krishna of Golok and Vrindavan. Any other form of Radha Krishna, there's some restriction in the flow of that prema. Restriction meaning that he's not allowing it to fully manifest, and thus there's some almightiness manifesting in his personality. And you see that in the leelas in Saketabodh or the leelas that Ram did on the earth planet. He was quite formal. He acted very seriously. When Shri Krishna was in Dwarika, he was serious, but not as serious as Ram. When he was in Mathura, he was even less serious than that. But when he was in Braj, how was he? In Braj, you saw a totally different side of Krishna. If you become a Gwalbal, then you would get to play with Krishna the same way you would play with your best friend in this world. There's just no restriction with Shri Krishna of Golok or Vrindavan. So the choice is ours, but here at Radha Madhav Dham, as taught by Shri Kripaluji Maharaj, we do devotion to Radha Krishna for this reason, that it gives the devotee the maximum proximity to Radha Krishna, the maximum freedom in their meditation to think of being with them any way they want, and it gives them ultimately the supreme bliss in the divine world. You would think that when it's all Radha and Krishna as Radha and Krishna, Radha Krishna as Sitaram, Radha Krishna as Vishnu Lakshmi, Radha Krishna as formless God, then why does it matter? You could ask that question, why does it matter? But it does matter. In the same way that it would matter if on a hot day you asked someone to bring you ice and instead they brought you steam. Steam, over 100 degrees Celsius on a boiling hot day. And you say, what is this? Why did you bring me steam? Well, you said you asked for ice and this is the same thing chemically speaking. It's H2O, right? So what? Here, have some steam. Well, the use of steam is different than the use of ice, which is different than the use of water. Similarly, Shri Krishna, in his formless aspect, is not the same, cannot be experienced the same way as Shri Krishna of divine Vrindavan or Shri Krishna with Radha. It's very different. Just like if someone just breaks off a branch of a mango and starts chewing on it. And you say, what are you doing? He says, it's mango. I'm trying to get some juice out of this. So you get juice out of the fruit, not out of the branch. So if you analyze the DNA of this branch is exactly the same as the DNA in the fruit. Why should it matter if I eat the fruit or I eat the branch? Okay, you have the branch, I'll have the fruit. In the same way, yes, internally they're all one, but Shri Krishna is revealing something different, more and more and more in his different forms, and he reveals himself in totality as Radha Krishna of divine Vrindavan. Think of it like a flower, like a rose. When it's in its bud form, then the qualities of the rose are all there, but they're in a dormant form. They're unmanifest. The color of the rose is unseen. The beauty of the rose is unseen. The fragrance of the rose cannot be smelled. Yet the rose is there, but it's in a bud form. That's like formless God. All the qualities are there, but unmanifest. Now the rose starts to bloom. It's in partial bloom. That's like Krishna's almighty forms. Some of his qualities are revealed, but not in full. And when that rose blooms in its fullness, then whatever are the qualities in that rose, they're all on maximum display. The fragrance, the beauty, the color, everything. So Radha Krishna are the full bloom form of themselves, simply put. So that's why we worship Radha Krishna. Saints who have attained Radha Krishna have attained the bliss of the divine world in its sweetest form or in its richest form. It becomes more and more and more enriched as Shri Krishna reveals more and more of that prema shakti or that power of bhakti. But always keep in mind that Radha and Krishna are one and the same. You understand now that Radha Krishna are not different from other forms of God, but in those other forms, they're not revealing that supreme bliss of Vrindavan abode. There's one lila described by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj in his Prem Ras Madira book, where he tells 1,008, he made 1,008 different lila pad. So one of those is describing something that happened between Radha and Krishna, with which both shows their oneness and shows the amazing leelas that happen that are only revealed by Radha Krishna. And you could never hear of such a thing or imagine such a thing being revealed by any other form of God. One day Radha and Krishna were sitting in a kunj. Kunj means a beautiful, secluded, natural place. Normally, the whole main part of the kunj is because there's a big, huge tree. Like you see some of the trees here in Radha Madhav Dham, some of those big oak trees, they create like a really nice canopy kind of shelter. So that's you need that to start your kunj, if you're going to build a kunj. You start with a nice big tree, creating a nice canopy and a nice open area underneath. Then all around you would want to have flowering bushes, creating like the boundary of the kunj in some kind of circular area. Nice, fragrant flowering bushes. Then you would have little flowering plants all around as well, and nice soft grass on to form the bottom of the kunj to walk on. But even that grass should have different color flowers. And then add to that big tree should have some creepers going up, climbing all the way up and also hanging down, and they're flowering creepers, so it means even the trunk of the tree is covered in flowers, and then there's flowers hanging down from the tree as well. Now you have a nice kunj. Then you can add in a nice fragrant breeze, gentle breeze blowing that picks up the scent of those flowers, and maybe Yamuna River flowing nearby. So in some kind of setting like this, Radha and Krishna were sitting, and the gopis were all on the outside of the kunj. There's different kinds of leelas, even in the divine Golok and Vrindavan. Sometimes it's called a kunj leela. That's where there's Radha, Krishna, and all the gopis. Then you can have Nikunj Leela, where it's Radha Krishna and only the 8 personal aids of Radharani, called the Mahasakhis. Then you have Nibhrit Nikunj Leelas, where the gopis stay outside the kunj and only Radha Krishna are there. So they were there, Radha and Krishna, in that kunj. They were sitting together on a seat that the gopis had prepared ahead of time. And they were just enjoying each other's company. Or you could say Krishna was enjoying his own company in the form of Radha, and Radha was enjoying her own company in the form of Krishna. And since they're both one, they don't even always need to talk to communicate. So sometimes they're just looking at each other, and just a look. You know how when you know someone really well, just a look is enough to make them laugh? They understand what you're saying. So sometimes they're just doing that with look or a movement of an eyebrow. Sometimes they're talking. Sometimes they're joking. So they're passing the time like this together in the kunj. Now today, Shri Krishna decides that he's going to do something that he's never done before. He just had the thought. He says, I'm going to do man. Man is a state which is difficult for us to understand, but since Sri Maharaji describes these types of man leelas in his writings, so I'll just explain a little bit. It's a state of the divine love that prem, that supreme power in the divine world, Radha and Krishna are the form of that prem, and everything they do is the expression of that prem. Now, sometimes that expression appears as a state of annoyance. Rarely, sometimes it happens. It's not annoyance like we have in this world, which happens because of material desires and disappointment and anger and that kind of thing. In the divine world, there's no such a thing, yet in the Leelas, sometimes there's divine annoyance, divine jealousy, divine anger. But it's all just like if you have sugar cookies. Today, in the prasad making class, they made sugar cookies. So they were round. If they had made some square cookies, they would have tasted the same, right? If they'd made some rectangular cookies, they would have tasted the same. So what I mean is, anything Radha and Krishna do, it's all ras, it all tastes sweet. So even if in the Leela there might be some divine annoyance shown or some divine anger, it's all part of the Leela and it all adds to the sweetness. It doesn't disturb anything. It's actually adds to the interest. So sometimes it happens, or Radharani, she does man. It's a state of that divine prem. Shri Krishna never does man. Whenever Radharani does man, then Shri Krishna has to try to appease her. He has to try to find out, oh, what did I do to displease Radharani? And then he asks the gopis help, please help make Radha leave her man. Because then Radha doesn't want to see Krishna when she's doing man. So then Krishna's in viraha. He wants to meet with Radha, but she won't meet with him. This is normally how it happens. But today, Shri Krishna says to himself, I never get to do man. Even though he doesn't have any reason to do man, normally Radharani has some reason. Like one time, it happened that she saw her own reflection in Shri Krishna's chest. They were dancing, gopis were singing. Shri Krishna is glowing so brightly, she saw her own reflection. And she thought that Shri Krishna had someone else in his heart. He was thinking of someone else, so she did man. Then gopis had to explain to her, still she wouldn't understand, so they just put Krishna's pitambara to cover his chest, then she was fine. So she has some reason, even though she's very bholi, she's very innocent, so she does man for these kind of innocent reasons, but she has some reason. Shri Krishna had no reason. He just decided, I never get to do man, today I'm going to do man, because it will be nice if Radha comes to me for a change and says, oh, pyare, what happened? What did I do? Please forgive me. But the thing was, as Shri Krishna thought this, Radha thought the same thing. She thought, I am also going to do man for no reason. So both were talking, and then they both just went like this. Krishna turned this way, Radha turned that way. But since they both turned at the same time, neither one realized the other turned. So they were sitting like this and like this, not talking to each other. And Krishna is thinking, what is she waiting for? Why doesn't she ask me what happened? Radha is thinking, why doesn't Priyatam ask me? He always asks me whenever I do man. So then they both entered an actual state of man. From being in a state of pretending, they both actually entered the state of man because the other one was not coming to them, and they both stood up and walked to the opposite ends of the kunj and sat down. Then the gopis tried to get involved. They said, you know, what's going on? What happened? They were talking so nicely and now they went and sat alone. So some gopis went to Krishna and some gopis went to Radha. But what could they explain? What was Krishna going to say? Because there was no reason for him to do man in the first place. So he was embarrassed to tell the gopis that first I did man for no reason. And then even though I had no reason to do man, since Radha didn't ask me what was wrong, then I really did man. So that's why I'm not talking to her. And same thing with Radha. What could she say to the gopis? So they're both just sitting there, not answering any of the gopis' questions. And the whole night passed like this. And eventually the gopis gave up. They didn't know what to do. And when morning came, both Radha and Krishna had the same thought at the same time. What am I doing? Radharani must be so worried about me, wondering why am I doing this. I didn't think of her feelings. Radha thought the same thing. Oh, Krishna must be so worried. They both jumped up and started walking fast towards where the other one was, but they were absorbed in their own thoughts, so they almost bumped into each other in the middle of the kunj. And then they said, oh, Pyare, I'm so sorry. No, 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 Pyare, it was my fault. I did Mon for no reason. You did Mon for no reason. I did Mon for no reason, too. So then the whole thing was resolved. So where could you hear such a leela? Only Radha and Krishna will do such leelas. And there are unlimited types of leelas like this. Whatever is described by saints, like Surdasji or Kripaluji Maharaj or Hitahari Vansh or Haridasji, it's only a fraction of Radha Krishna's leelas. So that's the attraction. It's those leelas that make doing devotion so easy. Because just thinking about that leela, listening to it, and then later when we do chanting, you can meditate on it. That's the easiest way to do devotion. Then you can even change it. You can add your own things into the leela. Oh, I think it would be good if it happened like this. And then it can happen. Then that can happen. Then that can happen. Whatever you can imagine must have happened already because they've done uncountable leelas. So you can make up any leela you want. You can include yourself in the leela. You can be one of the gopis with Radha and Krishna. Or if you like Sakhibhav leelas, you can become a gop or a gwalbal. So you understand now that Radha and Krishna in their form as Radha and Krishna of divine Vrindavan, which is depicted here in the shrine, they give the supreme bliss of the divine world, and their leelas are the most heart enticing and make doing devotion very easy. So in simple terms, that is why we do devotion to Radha Krishna. Although we give full respect to all of their other forms, but if we want to attain the supreme bliss in the divine world, then we have to do devotion to Radha and Krishna. One more question is left out, which is, if you look at the shrine, you see Radha and Krishna together on the left, and you see Radharani sitting alone on the throne in the middle, meaning there's some extra prominence being given to Radha. So why that extra prominence is given to Radha, I'll explain tomorrow. And now we'll do some more kirtan. Bhaj man Radha, Radha, ras prema sudha Radha. Braj ras varidhi Radha, soi mam swami ni Radha.
Body.
सुर नर मुनि राधा भज विधि हरि हर राधा सुर नर मुनि राधा भज विधि हरि हर राधा
भज सुर नर मुनि राधा भज विधि हरि हर राधा
भज ब्रह्म श्याम राधा सोई मम स्वामिनी 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 राधा
है महाभाव राधा लादिनी शक्ति राधा शक्ति राधा
महाभाव राधा लादिनी शक्ति राधा
है ब्रह्म रूप राधा सोई मम स्वामी रस प्रेम सुधा राधा ब्रज रस वारिधि राधा सोई मम स्वामिनी राधा
राधा
है
रसिकन धन राधा है जीवन धन
Love.
गामिनी राधा छवि अभिरामिनी राधा गामिनी राधा छवि अभिरामिनी राधा
गति गज गामिनी राधा छवि अभिरामिनी राधा
अनुदुति
राधा राधा
से ही अपनावती राधा
की।